We're on to chapter 15. Just one chapter this week, but this chapter is incredible, actually, I think. Acts, chapter 15. Yeah?
It's a cheerful one.
It's a cheerful one, and yet it is a very cheerful one, and yet it's got sadness in it, to my mind, anyway.
15.
Can't keep you too happy, can we? Yeah. 15, yes, 15, yeah. Yeah. Okay, let's pray and ask the Lord's blessing. Ah, Lord, it's good to know you. It's good to be known by you, Lord. Good to have your word. And we pray, Lord, as we look at how you worked in these people's lives all those many centuries ago. Lord, people haven't changed, and neither have you, Lord. Thank you, you're still the same merciful, gracious God. And we just ask you to help us, Lord, and grant us light and wisdom in how we conduct ourselves in our dealings with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Lead us, we pray, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Chapter 15 is dealing with the big issue of the church, the biggest one they had to face. You know, the distribution of the food was a bit of a problem, but compared to this, that was really nothing. This is how do the Jews and the Gentiles get on with each other when they become Christians? That was the really crunch issue. Because if you were aware that the Jews have had thousands of years of doing it one way, and now all of a sudden everything's changed. And how you adjust to that is pretty tough. And so it calls for flexibility on the Jewish side, and for consideration and compassion on the Gentile side. Well, the Lord can do it, and it happens in chapter 15. But as history tells us, the Jews and the Gentiles grew way apart fairly soon, not as the Christians, but as peoples, yeah? As we'll see anyway. We'll start from verse 1 anyway. Some men came down from Judea to Antioch. Now, some men came down from Judea. Now, Judea is in Jerusalem, that area.
Yeah.
It's fundamentally, totally, absolutely Jewish. Yeah? Judea. And they came from Judea to Antioch. And what's it, Antioch? It's a church of Jews and Gentiles. Mm-hmm. It's where the Gentile base is beginning to develop.
Yeah.
So these guys came from Judea to Antioch and were teaching the brothers. Mm-hmm. So they got something to say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's generally true, Jewish people have plenty to say, don't they? Yeah?
Sure.
Yeah. Of course they do. Yeah.
Okay.
Someone said, if you've got three Jewish people, you'll have four opinions. anyway, actually, it sounds like a joke, and it is a joke, but there's a fundamentally good thing about that, is the Jews were taught to think, and to have opinions about things requires you have to think about stuff in the first place. And that's really, really important, yeah? So these guys come down and they start saying to the brothers this: unless you're circumcised according to the custom taught by Moses, you cannot be saved. That's what they were teaching. Essentially what they were saying is, it's all well and good to believe in Jesus as the Messiah, but part of that believing means that you come over to our side and become fully blown Jews. That's what they were really saying, yeah? So unless you become part of the whole package, then you can't be saved. Yeah. Well, that's how would you feel if you become a believer in Jesus, a fully paid up Gentile, all enjoying this wonderful good news about Jesus and his wonderful grace and the God of Israel, and these guys come up and tell you that you're not a proper Christian? rather disconcerting, I should think.
It is.
And if you're a weak believer or not entirely well grounded, it could knock you completely off balance, and you can imagine any pastor worth his salt would want to say, I've got to stop this, you know, because he cares about the flock, and he's seen these flock being marmalized by these wolves, we call them. So what happens? Well, what happens is Paul and Barnabas get into it, yes? This brought Paul and Barnabas into sharp dispute and debate with them. Yeah? Now that's not that they're not having a fighting match.
No.
Yeah? But they're arguing their case, and they're saying to these guys, you're wrong. Yeah? It's right to have opinions, you know. And it's good to discuss things. That's what they were doing. They were thrashing things out. Thankfully, not literally, but that's what they were doing.
Had they split apart from the synagogue by this stage, or were they still meeting?
Still there? In the synagogue. There were synagogues in Antioch, which where there would be the Christians there as well, I'm sure. Yes, it's not quite got to that stage yet. So they got in sharp dispute with Paul and Barnabas. Notice Paul is running in front now. He's been there several years, and he's found his feet really. Next day, it says, so Paul and Barnabas were appointed, along with some other believers, to go up to Jerusalem to see the apostles and elders about this question. The church made the decision, we've got to get this sorted out. That's good, isn't it? Rather than splitting, rather than burying it under the carpet, they say, we've got to get this sorted out. Good for them.
Yes.
Facing up to issues is not always easy.
No.
And this wasn't an easy one, but that's what they did.
Yeah.
Yeah. They said, we've got to sort it out. So they chose Paul and Barnabas, because they're the people who are the defendants.
Yeah.
Yes. And some other brothers, well, I'd assume that they were members of the congregation, just to go and be part of the support. And I know what the names of one of the brothers was, because I'll need to take you to another passage in a moment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. These were Gentile believers that they took with them. At least some of them were.
Mm-hmm.
And also it says they went to see the apostles, the elders, about this question in Jerusalem. Why in Jerusalem? Because that was the headquarters of where things had begun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's important. And the apostles, they were the sort of founders of the church. Yeah. So, and the elders were part of the believing community in Jerusalem. That's what they did. I'll come to that other passage in a moment, but before we get there, the church sent them on their way, and as they travelled through Phoenicia and Samaria, they told how the Gentiles had been converted. So they don't waste any time. While they're travelling, they've got to pass on the good news, haven't they? That's what it's about, yes. This news made all the brothers very glad. That's good, eh?
Yeah.
So they hear how God's working in an amazing way in the Gentile peoples, mm-hmm. and everybody's really glad about this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. When they came to Jerusalem, they were welcomed by the church and the apostles and the elders, to whom they reported everything God had done through them.
Mm-hmm.
So when they get to Jerusalem, they're made welcome. I mean, they're the fellow believers, you see, and they bring them in and say, it's nice to see you and all that sort of thing, and they were welcomed, and the church welcomed them, and then it says the apostles and the elders, the leadership there. Now they have, this is what I'm going to say, is they have two meetings, it would seem. One is a meeting with the leadership, first of all, and then a meeting with the whole church later on.
Mm-hmm.
So I need to take you now to Galatians. This is Paul's account of what went on. Corinthians, Galatians, here we are. And I've got to find the reference.
Galatians 1.
I'm working it out at the moment.
Yeah.
Chapter 2. This is some years, as you can see, 14 years after Paul's conversion. So he'd been off to Tarsus for a long time, and then he was in the church in Antioch. Things had been going on for a long time. This is 14 years after his conversion. He says, 14 years later, I went up again to Jerusalem, this time with Barnabas. I took Titus also.
Titus
is a Gentile.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right. I went in response to a revelation. So God had told him, you've got to go.
Yeah.
I said before them the gospel that I preach among the Gentiles. That's what they wanted to know. What are you telling these Gentiles about how you get saved? I did this privately to those who seemed to be leaders for fear that I had run my race in vain. So he meets the leadership first, just to make sure that he's online. I'm sure he knew he was, but he just wanted to make sure of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And then the decisions that they came to were this. Yet not even Titus, who was with me, was compelled to be circumcised, even though he was a Greek.
Mm-hmm.
You got the idea?
Yeah.
They got the point. Yeah. You can be a genuine believer without becoming a Jew.
Yeah.
That was what it was. The issue was really all about.
Yeah.
The matter arose because some false brothers had infiltrated our ranks to spy on the freedom we have in Christ Jesus and to make us slaves. We did not give in to them for a moment, so that the truth of the gospel might remain with you.
Mm-hmm.
As for me, as for those who seem to be important, whatever they were makes no difference to me. He's talking about the leadership in Jerusalem now, yeah? God does not judge by external appearance. Those men added nothing to my message. On the contrary, they saw that I had been entrusted with the task of preaching the gospel to the Gentiles, just as Peter had been to the Jews. For God, who was at work in the ministry of Peter as an apostle to the Jews, was also at work in my ministry as an apostle to the Gentiles. James, Peter and John, those reputed to be pillars. So James is one of the elders, Peter and John are two of the apostles, yeah? Yeah. James, Peter and John, those reputed to be pillars, gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, and they recognized the grace given to me. They agreed that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the Jews. All they asked was that we should continue to remember the poor, the very thing I was eager to do. Yeah. There are a few more details that come on. We get to chapter 15 again. But that's, in essence, Paul's side of what happened.
One
yeah.
to vote the Gentiles, the other to vote
Yes, okay. yes. Now, let's get back to Jerusalem for the moment, yeah? Mm-hmm. This is in Acts 15, verse 5. Then some of the believers who belonged to the party of the Pharisees stood up and said, the Gentiles must be circumcised and required to obey the law of Moses. Now, I assume that these believers, what Paul calls false brothers, but these are the believers that have come with him, who are part of the group in Antioch that are saying you should be circumcised in order to be a genuine Christian. Because there are Pharisees all over Jerusalem. Yeah? So it's a party of the Pharisees, a group of people. And what's particularly strong about the Pharisees is they were mustard keen on keeping the law.
Yeah.
Well, at least as how they saw keeping the law.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Jesus had a few words about that, but we'll leave that for now. So what happens is they say the Gentiles must be circumcised and required to obey the law of Moses. The apostles and elders met to consider this question. So that's the leadership talking about it, yeah? After much discussion, how about that? There must be hours in those three words. After much discussion, an hour for each one. Okay. After much discussion, Peter got up and addressed them. Brothers, you know that some time ago, God made a choice among you that the Gentiles might hear from my lips the message of the gospel and believe. God, who knows the heart, showed that he accepted them by giving the Holy Spirit to them, just as he did to us.
Mm-hmm.
He made no distinction between us and them, for he purified their hearts by faith.
Mm-hmm.
Now then, why do you try to test God by putting on the necks of the disciples a yoke that neither we nor our fathers have been able to bear? No, we believe it is through the grace of our Lord Jesus that we are saved, just as they are. Interesting, and just see how God works. Who's the guy who puts forward the argument is the guy who's the apostle to the Jews?
Mm-hmm.
And he's saying is, you know that God showed me he's going to let the Gentiles in without them becoming Jews.
Mm-hmm.
He'd made that clear many years before, it would seem.
Mm-hmm.
So he's spelling out to these people, we've been here before on this one, God made it perfectly clear that the Gentiles don't have to become Jews in order to be saved.
Mm-hmm.
And he talks about this, saying is that the Holy Spirit made it obvious, it wasn't me, and God made no distinction. He purified their hearts,
mm-hmm.
as he's purified your hearts. And then he challenges them. So why are you trying to test God by putting on the necks of the disciples a yoke that neither we nor our fathers have been able to bear?
Mm-hmm.
He's using farming language, you know, about putting yokes on necks for animals to plough and all of that. Basically saying is, why are you trying to make it hard for them?
Yeah.
Why? Because it's how it's always been. That's where they're thinking, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And I have got great sympathy for these guys. You don't change the rules just at the drop of a hat.
Yeah.
This is a seismic change of things, of how God dealt with them. They should have known, of course, it's easy to speak with hindsight, they should have known.
Yeah.
But their scriptures say, and we'll see it in a moment, God says he's going to bless the Gentiles through them.
Mm-hmm.
I read, and I think it was a sad article the other day, it was by a rabbi I was reading on one of these Jewish websites, and he was on about, he's been Hanukkah recently,
yeah.
And one of the things was about translating the Jewish scriptures into Greek.
Yeah.
That happened with a thing called the Septuagint, I don't know if you've heard of it, but anyway, they translated the Jewish scriptures into Greek, so that a lot of Jews that had lost Hebrew could now read their Bible in a language they could understand. And he was saying two problems. Number one was they lost their knowledge of Hebrew, which is true, but the other is that it diluted what the Bible was teaching by translating it into another language. I think that's sad, really, and what I think it's sad is basically saying is, it's not just Jews that do this, Christians can do this.
Yeah.
We've got it, this is the way we do it, and we ain't sharing it with anybody else, otherwise we'll get spoiled.
Yeah.
It's not good, is it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you're meant to be a light to the nations. How can you be a light if you turn the light off?
Yeah.
Anyway, so these guys, that's what they're saying, we want to keep it in-house. They're all, it's okay, you can become a Jew, believe in Jesus, everybody's happy. And these Peter says, no, God didn't say it that way, he's changed it. So you can't put on them what we've had all those years. A yoke that neither we nor our fathers have been able to bear. You see, Peter's got the understanding. And it's hard to get Peter, and again, it's not the Jews that have this problem alone. It's hard to get the understanding that, you know, because you do your bit, somehow that makes it acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
We seem to think we can earn God's grace and forgiveness and mercy by the things that we do. You keep the law as best you think you're keeping it, but Jesus had to really scratch the surface of that type of thinking. He said to them, you know, you've heard it said, do not murder.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? And so I never bumped anybody off, so I can tick that one. I've never committed, broken that commandment. I haven't murdered anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Wait a minute,
mm-hmm.
Jesus says. If you hate your brother, if you've got the chance, you'd murder him effectively.
Yeah, yeah.
So you've broken that commandment, even though it doesn't look like it.
Yeah.
And that's what Peter's getting at. It's a load of responsibilities and challenges. They're not even aware of how they've broken them.
Mm-hmm.
It's only when you become convinced of your sinful nature that you begin to realise, I'm not quite up to the mark with what the law requires.
That's why we have to repent of our good deeds.
Well, they're covered in a few bits of dirt as well.
Yeah.
Yes, and so what? This is massive issues rise out of all these things. But what, in one of the senses, what is the purpose of the law that God gave to Moses? Why, if they couldn't keep it, what's the problem? Why would he do it?
To get them to lean on him.
God showed them that they couldn't keep it. That's why he gave them the sacrificial system alongside it.
Mm-hmm.
To recognize, you failed.
Mm-hmm.
And the sacrificial system was a part of an answer to that.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things Paul says in one of his letters, he says, the law was given as a schoolmaster to lead us to Jesus Christ.
Right.
Well, in other words, when you realize that you aren't up to the mark, you go to somebody who is and ask him for mercy. Yeah. And so the law leads you to Jesus. It should do it. And the conviction to realize you've failed drives you to the one who succeeded, Jesus. That's one of the things. The other thing about the law, and this is what the Jews were trying to do. They were trying to keep the law without the enabling of the Holy Spirit. I'm not saying all did that, somehow that you keep the law and it's all right, but you don't realise you can't keep the law, you can't do what God wants unless you've got God's grace to enable you to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that comes in parts of the New Testament later on. But anyway, we'll leave it at that. So Peter says, our fathers haven't kept it, neither have we, so why should we land it on the poor Gentiles? Yeah? No, we believe it is, and this is his statement of the gospel. We believe it is through the grace of our Lord Jesus that we are saved, just as they are.
Mm-hmm.
It's God's gift to us of his forgiveness in what Jesus has done. That is Peter's definition of the gospel. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
And the interesting thing is, those are the last words that Peter ever says in Acts.
Mm-hmm.
We don't hear him say any more. I mean, we get his letters later on.
Yeah.
But Peter fades out the scenery, in a sense. It's now the Gentile mission. Yeah?
Yeah.
But Peter says exactly, as Paul said in his letter to Galatians, Peter agreed exactly with what I said.
Mm-hmm.
And you know why? Because they both got it from the same source,
mm-hmm.
the Lord. Yeah?
Yes, yes.
Yeah. The whole assembly became silent. So Peter stated his case, and now the whole assembly, they get the lot in. Yes. Mm. The whole assembly became silent as they listened to Barnabas and Paul telling about the miraculous signs and wonders God had done among the Gentiles through them.
Where are we then?
This is verse 12. All the people that have met to discuss this question then say to Paul and Barnabas, well, tell us what's happened. Give us an account of what's happened. And they say of all the amazing things, miraculous signs and wonders that God's done. And why do they say miraculous signs and wonders? What's a sign? A sign's a miracle, but it's a sign in that it's telling you something. It's not just a miracle, a sign points to something.
Mm-hmm.
The miracle's telling you, God's showing you what he wants you to know.
Mm-hmm.
And so, all these signs and wonders that were done by God, through them. They're not claiming credit, they're just saying God did it to us,
mm-hmm.
to give us the blessing, in order that the Gentiles will get blessed.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a wonderful fulfillment of the Old Testament promises that through the Jews the blessing comes to the world.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was what it was about. Brothers, and when they finished, James spoke up. So who's James?
Brother of Jesus.
He's the brother of Jesus. But that's what his physical descent is. But what's James here? He's one of the leading elders of the church in Jerusalem. Yes, he's one of the top guys, you could say. Yeah. Although they, you see from how they are, they're not pulling rank on each other. There's a sort of camaraderie of serving the community and the church in there. Yeah. So, but anyway, James is a well-respected leader, and he stands up and he says this: "Brothers, listen to me." There you are. So you've got to listen. Simon has described to us how God first showed his concern by taking from the Gentiles a people for himself. Now, who's Simon?
Simon Peter.
Why is he calling Simon?
I was wondering.
That was his name, wasn't it?
That's his Jewish name.
Yeah.
They're in Jerusalem.
Yeah.
We call Jewish now, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, he calls him by his Jewish name. That's his basic name.
Yep.
Jesus called him Peter.
Yeah.
Well, he didn't call him Peter, he called him Cephas. Mm-hmm. But the Greek word for Peter, that for Cephas is Peter. It means rock. He was the rock man.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't James use the title Jesus gave him?
Because he knew him as Simon. That was his ordinary
like
name. Simon Peter.
Is that like a term of endearment, maybe?
Mm. Oh, might have been, yes. Yeah, possibly, yes. My mate, Simon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, we know who he's talking about. Simon,
yeah.
Simon, yeah, yeah. Has told us how God did this, yeah? Then, the words of... So he's told us... We've had Simon Peter's testimony.
Yeah.
That's one.
Yeah.
Right, and then he says, the words of the prophets are in agreement with this. That's two.
Mm-hmm.
Two witnesses to establish something. He's got the testimony of Scripture as well. You see, these guys, and I love them for this, yeah. If you can't prove it from the Bible, then it might be made up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, Simon Peter might have come away with any old story, but he's backed up by Scripture.
Yeah.
It says here, the words of the prophets are in agreement with this, and he quotes this interesting passage, and let's quote it in an interesting way, which we won't go into the details of it. After this I will return and rebuild David's fallen tent. Its ruins I will rebuild and I will restore it, that the remnant of men may seek the Lord, and all the Gentiles who bear my name, says the Lord, who does these things that have been known for ages. So that's the verse he's quoting. He's quoting it from, if you can see the reference.
Yeah.
Where's it come from? Amos.
Amos.
Yeah. It's a slight variation on Amos. What James is doing, and this is interesting, again, how these guys quote the Bible.
Yeah.
You know, if you went, they know the Bible, but if you went to some churches, if you didn't quote it exactly as the King James said it, they'd say you weren't quoting it properly.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. These guys don't quote direct. They modify, adjust, put bits together. Interesting. Jesus did that in the synagogue. Yeah, he took one passage and another passage and bolted them together to make his point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All I'm getting at is, they get the message of what it's about.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're telling you the heart of what the message is about. And the message is, God will restore the Jews, that's the first bit. He'll rebuild David's fallen tent. Things are going downhill, but he's going to lift them up. Yes. There's a restoration for the Jews promised in this chapter. But the other is, he says, that the remnant of men who seek the Lord, and also there's a remnant of the Jewish people that seek God, but also he says, and all the Gentiles who bear my name. Now that doesn't mean all the Gentiles. That means all the Gentiles who are believers. Got the idea, yeah? But Gentiles who bear my name. They're carrying the name of the Lord. In other words, they're in. They're believers. They're accepted by the Lord. All the Gentiles who bear my name, says the Lord, who does these things that have been known for ages. Well, he's revealed them, but they haven't quite got it yet. That's the point. So, we've got the Bible saying, somewhere in the process, the Jews will be restored, and the Gentiles come in as well. It's there. And they've got it in front of their eyes at this time. They've got to come to terms with it. So, this is what he says, verse 19. It is my judgment, therefore, that we should not make it difficult for the Gentiles who are turning to God. Encourage them. That's what he's saying. Don't make it difficult. Encourage them. Because it's difficult enough to turn to the Lord, particularly when you're in a hostile environment, paganism and everything else. Trying to make it worse would be counterproductive.
A bit like it is today.
Instead, we should write to them. That's good, eh? Send them a letter. Write to them, telling them, and this is his summary, to abstain from food polluted by idols, from sexual immorality, and from the meat of strangled animals, and from blood. For Moses has been preached in every city from the earliest times, and is read in the synagogues on every Sabbath. So if they want to know the Bible, they go along to the synagogue, there all the time. Yeah. But what we need to do is to tell them, all we're going to say is, okay, you don't have to become Jews to be genuine believers, genuine Christians. Yeah. He says, but what we'd like you to do is, and these are the four things, abstain from food polluted by idols, from sexual immorality, from the meat of strangled animals, and from blood. What are those four things? Complete turn-off to the Jews. Yeah. Food offered to idols? We don't do idols. Yeah. Strangled animals? We don't eat blood. Yeah. Sexual immorality.
The
Jews
in the East End still strangle the chickens.
The chickens, yeah. Yeah, well, they have their kosher ways of doing things, yes, yeah. Well, there you are. Well, they pull his head off, you're all right, yeah. Sexual immorality would cover most civilized societies anyway, and from blood could mean murder. Yeah, it could mean murder. That's how it's generally understood in quite a few commentaries anyway. But essentially what he's saying is, look, you Gentiles, yeah, you're in. We're glad you're in. But don't go out of your way to upset and put off your Jewish brothers and sisters. Yeah, if they see you stuffing yourselves with stuff that's come from idols and things, they'll think, oh dear, we've got to go with this, you know. So he's calling for fellow believers to be considerate of how they behave in the presence of other believers. So don't be offensive to the Jews. That's really what he's getting at there. Well, that's good, isn't it? Now I want to just pick that up a little bit more in a moment or two, but let's just see what happens then. So that's James's summary of after all the discussion. He says what we should do is we should ask them to be considerate of their Jewish brothers. That's quite reasonable. There's plenty of things that they can find out about what Moses taught through the Bible that they'll have read in the synagogues and so on. Verse 22. Then the apostles and elders and the whole church decided to choose some of their own men and send them to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas. They chose Judas, called Barsabas, and Silas, two men who were leaders among the brothers. We're going to send back a deputation of people who've been here, they know what we've discussed, and we're going to send some guys back with Paul and Barnabas, because they're going to return, of course. We're going to send some of our guys as witnesses to authenticate what's happened, and the letter to show that it's a genuine thing. It's not Paul and Barnabas making it up or anything like that. Not that they would, but so they chose these two guys Judas and Silas, mm-hmm. two men who are leaders. So they're taking some well-respected people to go and back up what they've written in the letter. So personal testimony as well as the letter. And this is the letter that they were sent to them. With them they sent the following letter. The apostles and elders, your brothers, to the Gentile believers in Antioch, Syria and Cilicia, greetings. We have heard that some went out from us without our authorization and disturbed you, troubling your minds by what they said. So we all agreed to choose some men and send them to you with our dear friends, Barnabas and Paul. Notice, dear friends.
Mm-hmm.
We're in on this together.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Men who have risked their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, we are sending Judas and Silas to confirm by word of mouth what we are writing.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. Isn't that interesting? As they were deliberating, they've been praying about it. They're asking the Lord to guide them, and they really sense the Lord, the Spirit of God, to guide them into this decision.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us not to burden you with anything beyond the following requirements. Mm-hmm. You are to abstain from food sacrificed to idols, from blood, from the meat of strangled animals, and from sexual immorality. You will do well to avoid these things. Farewell.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the letter. Interesting about the letter structure, just a little comment, that one. It looks like it wasn't written in Hebrew, it looks like it's written as a Greek letter.
Yeah.
Because it's got greetings and farewell,
yeah.
That's the way the Greeks did their letters.
Mm-hmm.
So it's written to the Gentiles in the Gentile format,
mm-hmm.
That's what I'm getting at. Yeah.
They're
just basically saying what we've agreed was what you've just heard, all of that. So what happens is, verse 30, the men went off and went down to Antioch, where they gathered the church together and delivered the letter. The people read it and were glad for its encouraging message.
Mm-hmm.
Yes! When they heard what the church had decided, they said to themselves, it's okay to be a believer in Jesus and
mm-hmm.
still be a Gentile. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And all that, been worrying about it all and that, am I good enough, am I accepted? Well, yes, is the answer, it's the grace of God.
Mm-hmm.
Now then, for a moment, think about the prohibitions, or what you could call them, that have been set before them.
Yeah.
These particular rules, I said they're there not to be offensive to the Gentiles. But eating food sacrificed to idols. Are you allowed to eat food sacrificed to idols?
We are.
Or does this apply to you?
No, yeah. Well, can't we, suppose they sacrificed a cow to eat cow, aren't we?
Yeah, it wasn't sacrificed to an idol, like, was
no.
It was just, it was killed in the slaughterhouse.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a different thing.
Let me take you back to Corinth. Early New Testament, Middle East and Mediterranean.
Yeah.
Any meat you bought was sacrificed to idols
mm-hmm.
in the Gentile community.
Mm-hmm.
They had pagan temples right, left and centre.
Yeah.
Any meat you bought
mm-hmm.
virtually
yeah.
was sacrificed to idols. Paul, when he gets to Corinth, tells them about eating food offered to idols.
Yeah.
And it's the same principle,
yeah.
Although he says you can eat it. Yeah, so he's not sort of following that hard line in that sense.
Mm-hmm.
But he's following the principle. He says you can eat it. But supposing you've got a brother, and he's not saying he's Jewish, it could be
yeah.
a Gentile brother.
Yeah.
He says,
yeah.
And he's just become a believer, and he's been down the local temple for the last 10 years or whatever, offering his sacrifices to some god or other or whatever it is, you know, and he's become a believer in Jesus. And he sees you going down to the temple and buying your meat and eating it,
mm-hmm.
and he thinks, he's worshipping that idol.
Yeah.
And he says, and the point Paul is saying is, don't cause your brother to stumble by what you eat,
yeah.
which is exactly what James is saying to the Gentiles with their Jewish brothers. Don't cause your Jewish brother to stumble by what you eat. If it's going to upset him, don't eat the stuff.
Right.
Have it somewhere else out of the way. Yeah?
Yeah,
you're allowed to eat it, but don't use your freedom to mess somebody up.
Yeah.
That's it's a delicate balance to walk on. Yes, but that's what Paul's following through on that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that the whole food business is a tricky one, is it not?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Let me take you back. Yeah, we're nearly finished. We're nearly finished. The rules that they thought about. It comes from Genesis. I don't know if you're aware of this. If you go back to Genesis chapter 9, It's Noah. Dear old Noah. Yes. Noah is the head of the human race after the flood, isn't he? He's the granddaddy of us all. Yeah. And God gives Noah some instructions about how people are to live. So let's have a look at chapter 9. God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth. The fear and dread of you will fall upon all the beasts of the earth, and all the birds of the air, and upon every creature that moves along the ground, and upon all the fish of the sea. They are given into your hands. The fear and dread of you." Now, there are some very, 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 very remote islands where you could pay a visit and the animals wouldn't worry. You know, you'd be a human and they'd just look at you and think, funny creature, yeah? Right? But virtually any other place on earth, if you pop your head up, what will the creatures do? They'll run. Yes, they're scared of you. That's why scarecrows work. It's because of Genesis chapter 9. they associate human beings with danger. Can't blame them really, can you? Polar bears. No, they associate human beings with dinner.
Yeah, that might be the one exception.
Yes. Next bit. Everything that lives and moves will be food for you. Just as I gave you the green plants, I now give you everything. So that's not kosher, that's everything. Yeah. So it's essentially saying the Gentiles, and I mean Noah wasn't a Jew, because the Jews didn't exist until Abraham's time, but the people of the earth can eat the meat now. Mm-hmm. What's changed is after the flood, people were allowed to eat meat. Prior to that, it was a vegetarian diet that some human beings followed it. It was vegetarian to start with, but from chapter 9, you're allowed to eat meat, if that's what you choose. You're not forced to. Alright, yeah? We're not bashing anybody who makes different choices. That's you're free to do that, yeah? Yeah.
But then you've got Cain's offering of
vegetables. That was Abel's offering.
Abel's offering was acceptable to God and he was a shepherd. Now if they had a vegetarian diet, why?
Yeah, he didn't eat it, he offered it.
But if you're keeping the sheep.
Keeping sheep for the wool and the milk.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think he ate them. No. I don't think he ate them. Yeah. I think it was friends as well. Yeah, no, I don't think he ate them. It was eating meat became only time after Noah. Yeah. Yeah. Right. We've got to it. Yes, verse 4. But you must not eat meat that has the lifeblood still in it. Yes? So he's saying is the meat has to be prepared properly and you don't eat it raw.
No, yeah.
Rare beef. No rare beef, please. Yeah, get it cooked if you're going to eat the stuff. Yeah. Anyway, there you are. And for your lifeblood, I will surely demand an accounting. Saying is, if you start shedding blood, then there's a price to pay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I will demand an accounting from every animal and from each man too. I will demand an account for the life of his fellow man, and so on. So those are the rules that God gave to Noah. And what's happening in the time of James in the New Testament is they're bringing the Gentiles back into line with Noah's time, because the Gentiles have gone down the road of idolatry and everything else. So he's trying to restore a little bit of order back to the Gentile way of life. So that's what happens in chapter 15, and everybody's happy. Is that right?
Well,
the church was happy. Let's have a look. I'll just read a little bit more to you then. Verse 31, the people read it and were glad for his encouraging message. Judas and Silas, who themselves were prophets, said much to encourage and strengthen the brothers. So they were preachers, prophets, preachers we call them, yes? So they're ministering to the people as well, yeah? After spending some time there, they were sent off by the brothers with the blessing of peace to return to those who had sent them. So they said, you know, the church in Antioch sends its blessing to our brothers and sisters in Jerusalem. That's what was going on, yeah? But Paul and Barnabas remained in Antioch, where they and many others taught and preached the word of the Lord. So things are going on really well, which is lovely, yeah? So that's how it was. And that's the lovely bit. The church solved a really, really tough problem. The tragedy, and this is what I was saying, the sad bit is, the tragedy was, Paul could see it happening, that the Jewish people were beginning to reject Jesus as the Messiah, larger and larger numbers. And that was the tragedy that Paul felt. He wanted them to come to know Jesus, and yet they were turning off. And these were the thing that's really striking to me, and the tragedy of the day is that the church that became predominantly Gentile as centuries went on came to the position that you couldn't be a Jew and be a Christian. Whereas these are all Jews that are talking about believing in Jesus, you know.
Yes.
These are all of them were Jews to start with.
Yes.
Yeah? And they were Christians.
Yes.
Yeah. But essentially, one of the problems was that Judaism, after the time of the destruction of the temple, because their sacrificial system had gone by then, it hardened up in that sense and became what we say, anti-Jesus in a sense. You know, they refused to recognize yes. Jesus as Messiah. And the Gentiles became really nasty to them as a result of that reaction in a way, which is wrong. All I'm saying is, the solution, what they found there was, you don't have to be a Jew to be a believer in Jesus, the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? What we need to get the message over is, you can be a Jew and believe in Jesus as the Messiah, because that's how it started.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And that's when it's going to come back to, of course. The fallen tent of David will be restored. It's still needing some work done at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We have here the attempt to glue together what are really quite difficult groups of people mm-hmm. from such diverse backgrounds. This mm-hmm. is the thing. And it's only Jesus is the super glue that can put them together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? But once that's the idea of the grace of God, as the church went on, it got more into works and law and stuff on its own. Yeah. Hey, it's strange, isn't it? I mean, the Jews did that. They go into, like the Pharisees did, you do this, you do that, yeah. you don't do the other. Church did exactly the same, and once grace goes out, mm-hmm. you guarantee yeah. there's going to be splits. There are extremely good reasons for the food laws mm-hmm. in the Old Testament,
yeah.
the way they prepared their meat and everything
yeah,
else. I mean, I said it before, if you want to stay healthy in a hot climate,
yeah.
go by the laws.
Yes, yeah?
Because
yeah.
they don't eat shellfish and stuff that picks yeah. up all the bugs in the water.
Yeah.
They don't eat carrion, because they can eat anything.
Mm-hmm.
yeah, and so, and pigs, I mean, the meat goes off pretty fast and it carries all these tapeworms
yeah.
as well. Yeah?
Yeah.
So, if you haven't got a decent sort of food preparation and hygiene system, go by the laws,
yeah.
yes. Of course, I mean, the Jews didn't follow it because it was good dietary practice.
Yeah.
It was good dietary practice because God had told them that.
Yes.
But they did it because God told them.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's why they carry on today, some of them,
mm-hmm.
yes? It's not because they know they know they can do it in the freezer. It's all right in the
mm-hmm.
freezer. But
mm-hmm.
no, that's not why they do it.
But down the east end, all the stallholders of the fish. Cockles and winkles and
Jewish. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're willing to sell them to you, no problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. You did. You sold them as well. Yeah. But shellfish.
Yeah.
Shellfish are not kosher.
No. They're
yeah. Sell them. Yes. Yes. I'm pretty sure I'm right
scales,
on that.
Yeah, you are.
It's only
yeah.
fish with scales.
Fins and scales.
Yeah.
Fins and scales. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Well, cockles. I've never seen a cockle with a fin or a scale. Yeah. yeah.
No.
They're nice though. I'll agree with you.
Yeah.
yeah. But there you are. Yeah. But the problem with the shellfish is they filter the water. They
yes.
feed by filtering.
Yes.
Yeah?
And
they pick up all the heavy metals.
Yes.
I mean, when the water was good, brilliant. But all the stuff we put in the water now, you know, they concentrate it. Yeah, sorry about this. Ruined your tea now, haven't I?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No,
are they?
Yeah, they are.
All right.
Too much shrimp, not a heart attack.
Okay.
As many Americans will tell you.
As many Americans will tell you, all right.
Mm. What?
Too much cholesterol in them as well.
Oh, very
high cholesterol.
Right. Well, there you are. You learn something every day, don't you, Ed? Well, as a Christian, you're free to thank God for the food you've got.
Yeah.
You know, all sorts of food we thank God for.
Just food, everything.
Oh, how to live?
Yeah.
Well, yes.
Yeah.
That's why we need him.
Yeah. Well, that's why he's given us the Word.
Yeah.
He's given us the Holy Spirit to help us to have a sensitive conscience about things.
Mm-hmm.
But if you go by the practice, you got to love the Lord and love your neighbour.
Yeah.
You can't go wrong.
Yeah.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
You think about their welfare, their well-being.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not all about keeping rules. The rules are there to help you.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, you don't get saved by keeping rules,
no,
you get saved by Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The rules are good. I was saying that the Jewish rules, I say they were good. The problem is when you start thinking that keeping them means you get saved.
No.
It didn't work.
No.
Well, that way. It can't work. Yeah, that was the upset. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so well. There you are, dear friends. Let's pray, eh? Ooh, yes. I'm not finishing chapter 16 yet. 15. Now they have an argument then. I thought we'd finish on a nice note, you know.
Right.
Yeah. Oh yeah, there's an argument comes next.
Yeah. Well, it's between four and one of us, isn't it?
Just shows, isn't it? I mean, on the note, they've solved the big issue in the church.
Yes.
The big argument, and then they fall out over one guy.
Yeah.
Human beings for you.
Yeah.
Funny people, they are. Very funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, Lord, thank you for your mercy, for your help for the church at that time. Lord, to encourage people to come to Jesus, Jew and Gentile. Lord, we've lost much of that, it would seem, and some of it's coming back. We say thank you for that, Lord. We pray, Lord, that we may be considerate in our dealings with others, fellow believers and non-believers, Lord, that we may show the grace that saved us is available for others too. Thank you, Lord, for your wisdom that you gave to these people. Help us in the decisions we make. They're not always easy, Lord. People can take strong sides. Help us, Lord, to discuss without falling out, to get down to the nitty-gritty without, Lord, getting into fistfights over it. Lord, give us wisdom and give us humility and much grace. We thank you, Father, for your mercies in Jesus' name.
Amen.